I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Inflation numbers are out. Uh-oh. Wages are down. Trish Regan is here. Bethany Mandel, Carol Markowitz. We're going to talk to a female athlete who had to take on a male athlete. All that's coming up tonight on I'm Right.
Today, I'm happy to report that the State of the Union and the state of our economy is strong.
Let me check my numbers again here. 6%? Inflation numbers are out today. 6%. That's on top of 7.9% we saw last February. So if I'm doing the math, I did go to community college. Let's see, carry the one. That means you're at least 13% poorer now than you were 2 years ago. And the president of the United States of America continues to get up in front of everybody and brag about how well things are going. And oh, did I mention real hourly earnings down 1.3% for now 23 straight months? Now, this is a problem because here's what's happening. All right, I'm going to try to put this as nicely as I can, but I'm just going to give it to you right between the eyes, okay? We are in very serious financial trouble now. Very, very serious, and it's about to get worse. Here's why. They're raising interest rates. They're raising interest rates because they're trying to avoid hyperinflation. The only thing that can stop inflation... Well, it would be better if you never printed the money to begin with. So in general, you shouldn't stop your economy and print a bunch of money and pass a bunch of $1 trillion bills. But we did that. And so now that we can't undo it, that toothpaste doesn't go back in the tube. So now we have to raise interest rates to avoid hyperinflation. Hyperinflation is the kind of thing that can break your nation up. It's that big of a deal. The whole country just goes right off a cliff. The world stops using the dollar as the reserve currency. It's really, really bad. So we can't afford hyperinflation. We have to raise interest rates. We have to. Raising interest rates will cause a recession. We know that. It restricts the money that flows around our economy. Money gets more expensive to borrow, so people stop doing as much of it. Raising interest rates will cause a recession. But we have to. We have no choice in the matter. Now, what just happened? Had a couple bank closures. Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank. You saw what Moody's did today, downgraded six banks. The banks have thrown up the, hey, what are you doing with interest rates thing? And we're already hearing the rumblings that the Fed is going to be scared off of raising interest rates anymore. Hey, don't raise interest rates, we'll close. But remember like 2 minutes ago when we were just talking about what we must do? There are laws in economics. It doesn't even matter. Democrat, Republican, laws, Constitution, none of these things matter. There are laws in economics. Those interest rates must go up. They probably have to go up significantly. They probably have to go up so much that it causes a severe recession. And they probably have to do all that to avoid something much, much worse. But if we don't do that, because the banks got scared and the regulators got scared and Biden got scared, man, we're heading to something that's not good. And it's not good at all. Here's what Larry Summers had to say.
So my guess is that at some point the Fed will push and push. We will not get inflation accelerate and skyrocket out of control. But my guess is that the process of bringing down inflation will bring on a recession at some stage, as it almost always has in the past.
Did you hear what he just said? Now picture this. Picture them not raising the rates. If they don't raise the rates and raise them significantly, we're in deep trouble. Tell you what, I'm going to talk to Trish Regan about this. Joining me now is somebody who probably doesn't need any introduction to you. She is the host of the Trish Regan Show, also TrishReganIntel.com. Okay, Trish, we've seen all the talking points now for 2 days. Two banks closed, Moody's downgrades, six others. Sure feels like the beginning of something ugly. What say you?
I think we've got a real problem here. I think you've got a Federal Reserve that moved very aggressively to hike rates. By the way, we got inflation data out today, which indicates they need to do that. They moved aggressively, but it was too much, too soon for a banking system that hadn't quite caught up. I mean, all the banks were sitting there with paper at 1.5% treasury notes. And now they're faced with this massive change in rates. They should have seen it coming, by the way. You know, Jesse, I think if they had listened to me or probably to you as well, any of the discussions on inflation that we've had, it was out there. But they were drinking the Kool-Aid. They believed what Powell told them. They believed what Janet Yellen was saying. They believed what Biden was saying. Oh, this inflation is just transitory. And so they did not hedge properly their portfolios. As a result, there are multiple banks. Regionals are the ones I'm most worried about. They're going to face a very, very challenging situation. I think the reality of it, though, is now that the Fed came out and said, hey, you know, we'll lend money to any bank that needs it, effectively guaranteeing everybody's deposits, the reality is you're going to find less and less regionals and more big banks when the year is done. And the problem for consumers is we all know what it's like to be on hold in another country somewhere. You're going to have to deal with a big bank that's probably going to charge you more and you're going to get less customer service. But listen, it's a mess. I think they did what they had to do, but it doesn't underscore how difficult I think a year this may be.
Trish, can you explain to me, because I've always had this problem when really smart people claim to be stupid or act stupid. Now, I understand ideologically, I probably differ from many people who run the finance world nowadays, but they're not idiots. We're dealing with a bunch of University of Chicago, Harvard grads. I am an idiot, and I knew interest rates were going up because that's inevitable. In fact, they told us 1,000 times they have to jack the rates up in order to keep the economy from driving off a cliff with hyperinflation. I knew it was coming. I went to community college. None of these super smart guys could see this coming? Come on.
You make a good point. Now, at some point, they should have, but keep in mind, I think they were a little bit distracted. Going further back, you know, maybe they were drinking the Kool-Aid. By late last year, they really should have figured this one out. But you had a head of risk management for the UK at the Silicon Valley Bank who really seemed to be more focused on the promotion of LGBTQ issues, having a mental health blog on the company's website. That was a big part of her endeavor and her job. When she really should have been saying, wait a second, what are we doing to hedge our bets here in the event that interest rates move higher? I think that in this ESG environment where companies are very, very pressured to be very politically correct, there has been an overemphasis on that political correctness, which comes at the cost, frankly, of the entire system. I mean, that's no exaggeration. The entire system right now is teetering on the edge because these people did not keep their eye on the ball.
Okay, will this refocus them? Because as you brought up, with these inflation numbers that we have today, we already know they're going to raise interest rates again. They've basically told us as much. This is going to be a bumpy year, to put it mildly, maybe a bumpy few years. Is this enough to slap some of these people awake, set aside the diversity hire stuff and start focusing?
I don't think it is yet. I mean, I think you're going to have to really start to see some shaky ground for people to focus more. Don't forget, one of the people that was actually on the board of the other bank that went out of business over the weekend, Signature Bank, happened to have been Barney Frank, Jesse. Barney Frank, who was very instrumental in the creation, if you ask me, of the entire 2008 crisis, because he had this belief that somehow banks should just be willing to lend to everyone, regardless of whether or not they had a job, whether or not they had any no income, no assets. The Nina loans, those were quite famous, and they were a result of Barney. So it's kind of the same cast of characters over there. They think that none of this is going to have any repercussions. And then when it does actually have an effect on things, they're like, whoa. And then they get government to step in and fix it all. But don't forget, this was a government problem. Jerome Powell and Joe Biden, they created this inflation by pumping so much money into the economy and then refusing to take the punch bowl away at the appropriate time. And then these, you know, frankly, I'm sorry, these idiots at some of these banks never bothered to hedge things because, well, why bother? Biden says it's going to be okay. Jerome, Janet, they all think this inflation is going to be manageable. It's not manageable. The train has left the station. We're now looking at upwards of, what, 6% we got today. Inflation is here.
Where are we going from here? Are we looking at Great Recession? Are we looking at a depression? Are we going to have a little two-month bump and
no,
we'll come back?
No, you know what? I'm going to tell you, Jesse, here's the thing, and this is what's sort of scary. They're going to kick the can down the road some more. So the reality is you need to address the inflation. We had this 6% jump in consumer prices, but they can't now. They can't because they wanted to raise rates a half a point next week. They're not going to be able to do it because then they're looking at this banking crisis. So what's going to happen? They might raise by a quarter point. There are many analysts right now, including the folks over at Goldman Sachs, where I used to work, that think, no, you're not going to actually get any increase at all. It's going to be a big fat zero. So that's why if you look at today's market, people are really excited because they're like, oh, the sugar high continues. And that's all this is. At some point, you got to actually fix things. And that's when the you know what hits the fans, so to speak. And we started to see a little bit of that. And they immediately said, whoa, we're going to take care of this. Well, what happens when you can't take care of it anymore?
That's so true. Trish, thank
that's
you so
the
much.
Great
come
depression.
Back soon.
Yeah. Thanks, Jesse.
It is what it is. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Yeah, look, it's a out of the frying pan into the fire situation. You can have hyperinflation or you can have high interest rates in a recession. And believe me, I know both of those things suck. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. But this problem is about to be a really severe problem. You saw Silicon Valley Bank. You saw Signature Bank. Have you called Oxford Gold Group yet? I've been telling you about Oxford for how long now? And how long now have I been telling you that something really bad is coming economically? I'm not Johnny come lately on this. You know, I've been hammering this for a couple years at least now. Something's coming, get ready, something's coming. Well, something is here. Whether it's tomorrow, next month, 6 months, it's here. Call Oxford now. They'll deliver gold and or silver to your front door, real gold coins, silver coins, so no matter what, if the worst happens, you can always buy something. They'll also weave some gold and silver, whatever you want, into your 401k, IRA, so when the market finally goes pop, you don't lose everything. Make a phone call, 833-995-GOLD, all right? 833-995-GOLD. Tell them Jesse told you to call. We'll be back.
What am I doing here?
You know what's so revealing sometimes about people? It's the things they brag about. For instance, in my house, it's well known that I have an unhealthy obsession with food. I get it naturally. It's from my side of the family. But I'll come home after a day at work doing radio, TV, and I'll come home talking to the wife, kids about the day, and I'll brag about something I ate that day. I don't do this on purpose, but that's what's in the forefront of my mind. And the wife told me the other night, she said, that says so much about you that you think that's the part of your day you need to brag about. This little clip from Jen Psaki talking about Joe Biden is so revealing and kind of frightening if you just dwell on this.
Now, it's important to note, President Biden does nothing at 9 a.m. He is a night owl. So the fact that he is doing this at 9 a.m. anyway speaks to how vital the White House recognizes it is for him to have his voice out there conveying that to the American public.
The president of the United States doesn't get up before 9 a.m.? Okay. You know what? Maybe it's for the best. Maybe it's for the best he doesn't get up before 9 a.m. Because I genuinely believe, now maybe this is the dementia that's rotted out his brain, but I believe being in politics for long enough can be more harmful for your soul than cigarettes are for your lungs. I really genuinely mean this. And I think about this every time I watch Joe Biden lie. I'm not naive. I'm not a child. I know all politicians lie. Democrats lie. Republicans lie. Libertarians lie. They all lie. They've all always lied throughout history. I don't think there's anyone, at least in the history of the United States of America, definitely not America's presidency, anyone, Democrat or Republican, who has ever told as many gigantic, easily verifiable lies as Joe Biden. Joe Biden will look at you right in the face and say, look at the sky, it's yellow, it's wild. Joe Biden has opposed gay marriage publicly and on television his entire 9,000 years in politics, the entire time. And again, this is something easily verifiable. If we wanted to, we could take 20 minutes right now and just play you video of Joe Biden not only saying these things on camera, and yet Joe Biden, he just... The truth just ain't in him.
I can remember exactly where my epiphany was.
Okay.
Hadn't thought much about it, to tell you the truth. And I was a senior in high school, and my dad was dropping me off. And I remember about to get out of the car, and I looked to my right, and two well-dressed men in suits kissed each other. I mean, they gave each other a kiss. And then one went, looked like he was heading to the DuPont building, and one looked like he headed to the Hercules Corporation building. And I never forget, I turned and looked at my dad. He said, Joey, it's simple. They love each other. It's simple. No, I'm not joking. It's simple. They love each other.
You know, that's Joe. But let's not lose sight of the fact that Joe Biden is in poor health. Mental health. I hope it's just mental health. I don't want anything bad to happen to Joe Biden, but God forbid something should happen to Joe Biden or that he should have to retire to go eat tapioca in Delaware with his Chinese communist friends, then that would bring in Kamala Harris. And I don't think people have fully appreciated how horrific and catty politics already is. And then you get these high-powered women in there and it makes it so much worse. You know, Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris still don't talk to each other.
If he's that old in a second term, that vice presidency becomes even more important. Should Kamala Harris be his choice the second time around?
You know, I really want to defer to what makes Biden comfortable.
That's too bad. Old Doan can't even get that away from Elizabeth Warren. All right, we're going to talk to Carol Markowitz and Bethany Mandel next about what they're doing to our kids in this nation. Before we talk about that, how many times have you ever heard the phrase secure comms? You've heard it. You've watched military movies, read military books. Maybe you served yourself. But what's that mean, secure comms? Well, can you speak without your enemy hearing what you say? Do you think it would be creepy and bad if every email you sent and received was read by the people who hate your guts and want to destroy everything you care about? I think that would be bad. Why do you think that email account you have is free? Free? What do you think they're doing with it? They're collecting all your information. Not only are they collecting it, they're looking at it, they're selling it. You don't have secure comms. If you want a secure email, you have to go to Start Mail. Start Mail's totally secure. Startmail.com/Jesse gets you 50% off your first year, the whole year, 50% off. You want actual secure comms that your enemy isn't reading? Startmail.com/Jesse, all right? We'll be back.
Transgender kids is a really harder thing. What's going on in Florida is, as my mother would say, close to sinful. I mean, it's just terrible what they're doing. It's not like, you know, a kid wakes up one morning and says, you know,
I decided I want to become a man, or I want to become a woman, or I want to change. I mean, what are they thinking about here? They're human beings. They love, they have feelings, they have inclinations that are, I mean, it just to me is, I don't know, it's cruel. And the way we do it is we make sure we pass legislation like we passed on same-sex marriage. You mess with that, you're breaking the law, and you're going to be held accountable.
I love watching Joe Biden, of all people, try to explain the unexplainable. Well, I mean, if you wake up one day and you're a woman. Joining me now, my friends, Carol Markowitz and Bethany Mandel. Bethany, let's start with you. Sometimes I love that he's there. He just can't form the words. And in many ways, it makes him the most honest of them.
Yeah, so I would love to introduce Joe Biden to my children who wake up on any given day and decide they are Batman. One of my daughters has decided she is a queen, and she had a complete meltdown when we would not refer to her as queen, princess, if we were really feeling uncharitable. But, you know, it's crazy to me that he thinks that this is sort of... This is sort of what happens when you give an 80-year-old man who is half senile talking points that he doesn't totally understand. He kind of does this like, I don't understand. It's just cruel. He doesn't really understand what he's saying, and it's really quite apparent.
It is apparent, and it's also quite hilarious. Carol, you moved from New York to Florida because you're smart. We're not going to talk about that with Bethany right now, but you moved from New York to Florida. And life has been good there, but would you elaborate for everybody what the, quote, don't say gay controversy is really about? Because it's really not about saying gay.
Right. It has nothing to do with saying gay. By that, you know, explanation, you also can't say straight, because they don't want teachers discussing sexual orientation with kindergartners through third graders. The biggest criticism I've heard of this bill, of this law in Florida, is that why should it stop at third grade? Like, why should fourth, fifth, sixth grade, et cetera, have sexuality and sexual orientation and gender discussed in class? And so now Governor DeSantis is pursuing it further. I mean, the fact is that Joe Biden made those comments on a comedy show, and they are hilarious, but I don't think in the way that he meant, because I think you're right. I think that this is the honest truth from him, where he has no idea what he's talking about. He has no idea what it actually means that groups of kids are deciding, waking up one day and deciding that they're transgender, and how that's affecting parents.
Bethany, I guess one of the great questions that's asked out there is not just, well, is this right? Is this wrong? What we should or shouldn't be doing? What should we ban or shouldn't we ban? It's, why does anyone want to talk to someone else's second grader about things that are sexual things? Now, I'm fine with kids. I don't mind kids, but I'm very mindful of other people's. When we have a babysitter come over, I won't stand within 20 feet of her. I'm not being a weirdo. It's just that someone else's kid, that's someone's daughter. But these people really want to talk to your kindergartner about sex. Why?
Yeah, so there's a lot of sort of heat and debate on the right about if we should throw around groomer as an epithet. And it's, you know, okay, groomer. But if you, and we, in Stolen Youth, I before this whole conversation erupted, and this is the problem with writing a book, is that, you know, you write something down that's like really good, and then people take it before you hit publish, and you're like, oh, crap. This was one of those things. And in Stolen Youth, I talk about the definition of grooming. And what they are doing is literally the definition of grooming. They are talking to children about sex, assigning a sexual identity to people who are not yet sexual beings, and then telling them, if you think that your parents won't approve of this, don't tell them. Telling children to be secretive about sexual content is literally the definition of grooming. And I'm not saying that every teacher is grooming children, but what I am saying is it makes them susceptible to being groomed later on down the line, because any child who is told to keep a secret about sex and sexuality from their parents, from someone who is in a position of authority, which again is the definition of grooming, is priming that child to be sexually abused later on.
Glenn Youngkin had a video clip. Well, he had a long town hall on CNN, which he should have never done, but he had a video clip that was making the rounds. Here's a short version of it.
I am a transgender man. Do you really think that the girls in my high school would feel comfortable sharing a restroom with me?
What's most important is that we try very hard to accommodate students. That's why I have said many, many times, we just need extra bathrooms in schools. We need gender-neutral bathrooms, and so people can use a bathroom that they, in fact, are comfortable with.
Carol, I'm a Glenn Youngkin fan, so I'm not going to just destroy him like I would some useless turd like Lindsey Graham, but we can't even just be honest about gender now. The right has so emasculated itself that we lack the ability, we lack the courage to say, no, you were born a woman, you're always going to be one, no matter what you hack off yourself. You were born a man, you're always going to be one. Is this the new position of the right? Well, let's just give them extra bathrooms. Are we that eunuch now?
The problem is that Glenn Youngkin put himself in a situation where he's discussing bathrooms with a child. And in our book, Stolen Youth, we talk about how the left does this on purpose. They put children in positions where they're the ones mounting the argument. How are you going to argue with this kid about what bathroom they can use? Glenn Youngkin put himself in an impossible situation. And, you know, there was a really smart Instagram comment about that people are mean and sometimes they don't seem that mean. And that was from you, Jesse. I thought you were right on for like the first time in your life. But like, that is a mean thing to do to Glenn Youngkin. And they did that to him on purpose to like catch him out there. And listen, if you go on CNN, this is what you get. And yes, this is what the right is. The right is absolutely coward to this. They're coward to a lot of things. There's a lot of things that Glenn Youngkin does that I like. There's a lot of things Glenn Youngkin does that I think is completely weak and can be far, far stronger than he is.
Yeah.
Bethany, I'm glad you wrote the book Stolen Youth on this stuff, but this is the stuff that drives me insane. And I see both of you talk about this stuff a lot, and I'm glad you do. We're cheating the kids by being nice. We have this weird obsession that we have to be, I need to be kind to you. Well, no, if you're abusing my son, I'll cut your hands off and make you eat them. I don't have to be nice to you at all. We have gotten so weak and pathetic in this country when it comes to protecting kids. Now we're nice to all the wrong people and we're mean to the kids.
So I would even posit that we're not being nice to that child on the town hall. First of all, he's being used, she's being used as a child soldier, but she's also being mutilated. It is not kind to continue to perpetuate the notion that you can change your gender and that you should do so with surgical means and with hormonal means. This young woman is, if she has gone through an entire gender transition, is rendered infertile, is rendered incapable of breastfeeding future children. If you listen to the stories of detransitioners, I would argue that the person that we are being meanest to is not the other girls in that bathroom who, you know, suddenly someone who is male appearing has waltzed in. The person that we are being meanest to is that young woman. And we shouldn't be afraid to say that is a young woman. That is a confused young woman who is going through a mental health crisis. It is gender dysphoria. It is in the DSM. We used to call it like it was and say this is a disorder of the mind. And we would never go along with this if it were schizophrenia. We would never say, yeah, you might be hearing other voices. No, the nice thing to do is to help people and is not to perpetuate their disorder.
Well, I 100% agree. That young lady has been cheated by everyone in her life, her parents, her shrink, her doctor. She has been done wrong by all the people trying to be nice. All right, Carol, I'm going to let you both have this question. The book is Stolen Youth. Yes, it's right here. Yes, I read it. And yes, it's outstanding. But I want to know what makes you think this is going to outsell my book. You think just because I'm not very good at writing that that's the reason?
Well, I think because your book's not out yet. So we'll start with that. Tough to outsell a book that doesn't exist yet.
We're not even sure it does exist.
The fact that you have read this book, I know it's the first one ever for you, so I'm so happy for you. And your literacy journey has been just really breathtaking to watch. Thank you, Jesse. Thank you for showing everybody how it's done.
Well, you know I don't like to brag. Bethany, please.
So, I mean, we have two pretty faces hawking this book, and, you know, we're doing so very effectively. And I hope that your publisher has included some sort of visual assistance along with your book contract. Maybe I'm not sure what that might entail. I don't want to give any ideas. Maybe some lip filler. A razor of some sort. I'm really not sure. But you are at a real disadvantage because it's two pretty ladies versus this, like, oaf, really. It's like Shrek. It's like Shrek, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. That cut deep. I should have written in some hair replacement in the contract. It's receding. It's a nightmare. The book is Stolen Youth. It is very good. Carol Bethany, thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much.
All right. Now, let me ask you something. You ever read any stories of shootings cops get into? I read a story one time about a cop getting in a gunfight with a bad guy in an elevator. They both had a weapon, and they both missed every single shot. That's a true story. Do you know that? You're only as good as you train. That's it. All those super studs out there, the Green Berets, the Marine types, you know why they shoot? They train. They're not naturally better than you. They weren't born that way. They train. You know what the Green Berets train with? Mantis X. I'm offering you the Green Beret training. You dry fire practice in your home, in your office, wherever. You don't have to shoot around. Save a fortune on ammo. Save a drive to the range. They'll put you through drills. They'll give you feedback. 20 minutes, you'll be better, let alone 20 days, 5, 10 minutes a day. You want to shoot well? Mantis X is how you do it. Whether you're brand new or extremely experienced, MantisX.com. Go get yours today, all right? MantisX.com. We'll be back. Hear about that Christian school, Vermont Christian school? Girls' basketball team refused to play against the other team because the other team had a dude on it who was pretending to be a chick. That school has now been banned from future tournaments. Just a heads up, as we wade into this horrible culture war, this assault on really every part of our country, including women, they're going to punch back. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be uncomfortable. Let's ask Taylor about this. Joining me now, Taylor Silverman, competitive skateboarder, actually finished and competed against a dude. Taylor, before we get to what happened with you, this is a story with this Vermont school that's going to play out now for years to come. Even a girls' high school basketball tournament is going to somehow become part of the culture war now because parents don't want their baby girl to get elbowed in the face by some monster.
Well, I think that the school really tried to do the right thing by forfeiting the game in order to protect their players' safety and to respect the girls so they wouldn't be put in an unfair situation and be made a mockery of, essentially. But unfortunately, they were hit back and they have been banned from future competitions. But I don't think this is going to be the end of this story. It actually reminds me a lot of a story from last year where Blake Allen, a high school volleyball player in Vermont, spoke up about a male who was using the women's locker room and she was uncomfortable. There had been some comments that made her uncomfortable and she was actually punished for it. She was suspended from school. And what happened that followed was they actually filed a lawsuit and immediately the school pulled back and they apologized.
It's amazing what happens when you actually punch back. These people are not used to this. Okay. Tell me about your story. What happened with you?
Well, I first encountered this situation back in 2018, I believe, was the first time. And I went to a contest, flew out to California, had booked a place to stay, and actually spent money out of my own pocket to be able to be there along with some help from some sponsors. And I realized upon getting there that there was a male in my division. And then it happened again in 2020 when I traveled to Chicago. And the first couple times it happened, I honestly thought that this was going to be something that was very quickly resolved, that people would realize was not the right way to handle it, and that wasn't the right way to go forward with the situation, that there would be a way to include everyone without doing so at the expense of female athletes. But then in 2021, I competed in a qualifier for a Red Bull contest, Red Bull Cornerstone, and I was invited to a finals event in Lincoln, Nebraska, where I went out and, again, the day of the contest, found out that there was a male in the division. And this person actually went home with $5,000 of the women's prize money, leaving me in second place. At the time that it occurred, I was really unsure how to handle it, and I didn't know how to approach the situation. It's a very uncomfortable situation to be in, obviously. So I reached out to Red Bull privately by email, of which we'd corresponded before, thinking that they would have a discussion with me. But unfortunately, they completely ignored me. And it got me wondering how many other people are trying to speak up and being shut down. So I turned to social media, which I had a small following on Instagram at the time. And I posted all the details of what had occurred along with the email that I had sent Red Bull that was ignored. And that post went viral immediately, which was not what I expected, but I quickly realized how many people are really concerned about this issue and how often it's happening in other sports aside from skateboarding. And since then, I've continued to use my voice because I think this is an issue worth fighting for. And I don't want to be the last generation of female athletes to experience equal opportunity and fairness in sports like I was afforded growing up, but unfortunately had taken away from me as an adult.
I never even considered that. Boy, that's quite a way to put that. The last generation of females that have their own sports. God, all right, what's the backlash been like?
The backlash has mostly been online bullying. At first, when I first posted this, my small following, a lot of them turned on me and called me names, called me a bigot, called me transphobic, all the names in the book that they go through when somebody speaks out against the woke agenda. But then the post started getting shared and media picked up on it. And I realized that the support that I was receiving outweighed the backlash greatly. Another interesting part to my story that I think differs a little bit from some of the other athletes that have spoken up is I happen to be Jewish. So I was called horrible names and attacked for being a Jew, which really blew my mind because this is a crowd that claims to be all about inclusivity and diversity. But the second I spoke up, I was attacked for my ethnicity.
Taylor, you know what? I want to play this video for you. And there's something that's been hitting me. You're the perfect person to ask. Here's this video.
What is a woman? Hold on. Hold on. Go ahead.
I didn't have anything to say yet.
But what is a woman?
A person.
No, but what is the definition of what is a woman?
I don't know. I'm confused now.
I, as an individual, respect trans people. Sure. I respect trans women, so I'm not going to come on here and invalidate them by saying that. I understand completely where you're coming from, but just from my personal preference, I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Answering the question. So what is a woman?
I'm going to say what she said. I don't feel comfortable. I just feel like that's, like, not... I don't know. I feel like there's a better question that you could be asked that could be asked in this situation.
I've seen that clip circling the internet.
Mm-hmm. And here's what hits me, and I understand that's totally easy for me to say. What hits me is how few women have stood up and done what you do. I know there are some and there are more now, which is why I applaud you for it, because that inspires people to do it. But I can count them on two hands, if I even need more than one hand, the women that have come up and stepped up and said, no, enough is enough. I'm not going to be erased. I'm not going to live in a world of make-believe. Why haven't there been more, Taylor? Because everyone in the world knows that's a dude, right? Everyone in the world knows. I don't care what words people put on it. Everyone looks and sees the exact same thing, and yet the percentage of the population is about that high that will say it. Why aren't there more?
It's really heartbreaking to see how many young women especially are afraid to state an obvious fact that women are adult human females. We are females. We have XX chromosomes. And I think the reason why there's hesitancy in saying so publicly is because they see the backlash that someone like myself has faced. And I even had a lot of fear before I spoke up, wondering what this was going to mean for my life, for my future. But I felt an obligation morally to speak up, especially having been in second place and having been in a contest where there was thousands of dollars involved. I knew that my story mattered and people needed to hear it. And if I didn't say anything, no one would know that this happened. But what I want people to know is the bullying and the dogpiling that you see online isn't real life. In real life, I have gotten nothing but support. I literally got job offers for this. I actually took one of them, and now I work out at Timcast, which has been a dream job for me. And I've had tens of thousands of people reach out by private message to tell me thank you for speaking up, because they've been waiting for someone to use their voice, and they're scared of consequences like, you know, being doxxed, losing their job, having retaliation against their own children or themselves. And I can understand that, but the fear-mongering that we see is a tactic that's used to silence us. And the more people who stay silent, the longer this lie can be painted that we're the minority here, when in fact, the majority of people are actually on our side. And this isn't a political issue. It's actually very nonpartisan in the sense that people who disagree on a lot of other issues can unite on this one, because we all care about women's rights. We care about our daughters. We care about the female athletes that we love that are in our lives. And even people who have no connection to this or are not involved in sports, they have enough common sense to know this is wrong. But I'm hoping that more and more young women especially begin to realize that they should be able to answer a question like that and have the self-respect to do so. And you can do so and still respect somebody who struggles with gender dysphoria and may want to present a certain way or make decisions in their own lifestyle to live a way that makes them more comfortably. This isn't meant to be hateful towards anyone, rather to protect female athletes and the integrity of sport.
Taylor, I appreciate it. Good luck to you. Love, Tim. Give him my best.
Oh, definitely. Thank you for having me.
Of course. All right. Got Light in the Mood coming up next. Pi Day. Talk about that in a moment. Before we talk about that, maybe the problem is we have a society of people who have gotten weak and scared. Maybe our problems are also internal. Meaning, when people think about stepping up and saying something, they think about the backlash. They think about, oh, I don't want to get yelled at, and they shrink away. Maybe it is our testosterone levels in this country, our free-falling testosterone levels. Did you know they are half of what they were 50 years ago? Half. Testosterone levels cut in half. That's insane. But that's where we are. The anti-communists at Chalk are trying to build a nation of bold anti-communists. Natural herbal supplements. All natural. I take a male vitality stack every day. Female vitality stack for the ladies. They have lit powder. They have more natural herbal supplements for the things you want in your life than you can possibly count. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse gets you 35% off a subscription. Go get one. You won't regret it. 90 days. You email me and tell me how you feel. All right? We'll be back. You know, you don't just come back from combat and everything's fine. That's what we like to imagine. What we like to imagine the movies, the guy, he's getting off the ship and his young bride is running down to him and they smoochy smooch and then they walk off back to their hometown and he'll just go back to, you know, cleaning up the shop downtown. It doesn't work that way. You can't just come back like that. These guys need something to help them bridge those two worlds. You're back from combat. Let's introduce you to the real world again. That's what Boulder Crest does. We're going to get into Light in the Mood in a second, but I want you to go help Boulder Crest tonight. That's what they do for veterans. They don't chuck them a bottle of pills. It's not a, hey, thanks for your service. Goodbye. No, they're bringing them in and they're bringing them back into the world. Go to bouldercrest.org. It's called Operation Struggle. It's wonderful what they're doing for these veterans. Support them. Give what you can. Bouldercrest.org. Now, I know today's Pi Day. I know last year we ranked all the pies because we're a pretty high-end show around here. But look, I know. I'm not stupid. I know pi has something to do with math. I wouldn't know. I had to drop algebra a couple times. But you know what? Math doesn't matter. The president doesn't know any.
If you have a child under the age of 7 years old, you're going to get in your bank account today, you're going to get a payment of 12 months divided, $3,600, $3,700 for that child divided by 12 every month.
I'll see you tomorrow.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.